Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. And you. We are going to talk this hour some Caleb Williams, because he finally talked for the first time since that article came out that basically said he wanted out of a place that he never wanted in to begin with. But then he went to Chicago one time and said, I want to turn things around. So some clarification going on. And I thought the whole Caleb Williams, you know, it's worthwhile, the stuff that went down between his dad maybe not wanting him to play there and a good look at the discussions that go on prior. But when the story came out, I know it's crazy for Bears fans and they're like frustrated, but he's there, and everything that was bad didn't happen, and now you have a new head coach. And so I don't think they worried about it too much, but it's like, we almost screwed this up before we got the chance to actually screw it up. And I think Caleb Williams, he was my QB1 coming out. I think that he'll be good. I think he'll be good under Ben Johnson. So I wouldn't worry too much, but yeah, I mean, because a lot of Bears fans knew that Matt Eberflus was not going to be the guy to coach Caleb Williams throughout the entire rookie contract. So, Ben Johnson, you could have had him last year. Where would we have been if you just did that then? What was the point of this whole last year? Why did we have to experience what a Shane Waldron was? You know? But they did. And we'll hear from Caleb coming up in a little bit. We'll also hear from some of the Timberwolves. What is next with them? They lost in the Western Conference Finals tonight in Game 5, and they did that again. So the Timberwolves, it seems like, you know, they built this team that is good, and they tweaked it, you know, with that trade. They built this team. They've been making the playoffs, and they've been a team that's like, okay, they're up and coming, they're up and coming. Lost in the first round to the Grizzlies a few years ago in 6. Lost to the Nuggets 3 years ago in 5. Lost to the Mavs in the conference finals last year in 5. And now lost to the Thunder last year, or this year, tonight in 5. So when do we get the bump here? And why are these playoff exits so quick? Why is everything happening so quickly? Before that, let's talk to Brent in Myrtle Beach. It's Brent. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Bartimus. Good to be back on the TKO show. All right, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to chase it down the rabbit hole. I don't want you to dismiss it, because we've seen some weird things in the NBA this year. Okay. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
What if European-minded Luka Doncic is like, you know what? I don't like L.A. or the Lakers, and I'm not going to re-up here.
Is that the end of the sentence?
That's it, yeah. What's the fallout for the league if that actually happens? And for himself?
Well, I don't think it will.
Yeah, but I didn't want you to go there.
You want me to go there? So we're doing hypothetical time?
Yeah. Let's. I mean, because I assume that the Lakers have like the bird rights, so they get to make like the bigger contract. Is that correct?
I believe so. So what would happen? Yeah, but what would happen is if he wanted totally out of LA, he's got a player option the next year. So if they can't get to an extension, then they probably either trade him to somebody who wants him for a year, and then he's got to figure out where he wants to go, or he... I mean, this seems like a waste of everybody's time. I appreciate the question, but I don't think this is happening.
Hey, the Mavs only had a 2% chance of landing the draft pick, too. So weird things have happened.
Yeah, I think they're going to lock in, and he's going to be like, you grow up and wanting to play in the NBA, and now you get to be the face of the Lakers. I think that that's pretty decent.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. Talk to you later, bud.
All right, Brent. I didn't know where you went there at the end. All right. The Minnesota Timberwolves. They lost. So what's next? I don't know. It may not be great. They've got a lot of money tied up in Rudy Gobert. And they spent a lot of picks to get him. Anthony Edwards, under contract, long time, max player. You're going to want that. Jaden McDaniels, they feel like is an important part of their future. I can totally get behind that. They're going to have an expiring deal out of Mike Conley. They've got some rookies they can extend. They didn't play Dillingham much. Shannon started getting some more minutes late. Joe Ingles, for what it's worth, is a free agent. Nikhil Alexander Walker is a free agent, but they want to keep him. Naz Reid is going to opt out of his player option. $15 million. Naz Reid's going to make a lot more money than that. And so the Timberwolves will look to extend him. And I think Alexander Walker, they'll want to try to find a way to keep as well. When they traded Karl Anthony Towns, they did so because they want to build around Naz Reid, partly. Naz Reid is, you know, their guy. Now, they ended up getting Gobert and all this. But Naz Reid is somebody they felt is going to be the guy we need to extend. So this money that we got tied up in Cat, we might need that for Naz Reid. Julius Randle is on a player option. The joke among Timberwolves fans is that he played himself into the player option. He's 30. His player option's $30 million. So he can take that and make $30 million and then be a free agent the next year. Or he can decline it and look to get a bigger deal elsewhere. Now, I don't know that Julius Randle is bringing in $30 million as a free agent. Can he find a better long-term deal? Maybe. You know, to make money over 3 or 4 years than you can. Just the one, you'll make your money up eventually. Or you take the $30 million. It seems like you probably go with the player option if you're Randle. Just based on the limited research that I have done about the Timberwolves offseason in the last 2 hours. So they've got a lot of questions that they need to ask and have answered relatively quickly. I think where you're the Timberwolves, where this is frustrating, if I'm a Timberwolves fan, is remember the run last year that they went on? I completely bought in. You know, when they beat the Suns, I was like, all right, man. Then they beat the Nuggets in 7. I believe after game 1 or game 2 of that series, I was talking that they were my finals team. Went to the local sports book, threw down some coin. We're talking 20 large. $20. That's how I call 20 large. But I thought that they were the team that was going to get it done. They were the horse that I was riding, and then they beat the Nuggets, but then lost to the Mavericks in 5, and they just got like outplayed, and it looked like everything that they had, all that life, everything that worked, it looked like it just went away. This year they beat the Lakers. The Lakers! You know, last year they're knocking out Kevin Durant and the Suns. This year they're knocking out Luka, LeBron, and the Lakers. And then, yeah, Steph Curry gets hurt, but they don't have a problem with the Warriors after that. And against the Thunder, I mean, it didn't look great. Now, tonight is an exception. I think even if you're feeling like, hey, maybe we can come back. I mean, they won the one game at home, which is, you know, great. Gentlemen sweep. Otherwise, they didn't really... Well, game four came down to the wire. Game four came down to the wire. But there was too many blowouts in this series. And tonight, they gave up, like, right away. And I don't want to say they gave up. It's just they weren't as good. You know, in the first quarter alone, they shot 3 for 20 in the first quarter. Only 9 points. After the first half, they had 12 made shots, but 14 turnovers. Chris Finch, head coach, on what led to the slow start.
Missed a bunch of shots early. Jaden had some good looks. Mike had some good looks. They didn't go down. They led the runouts, you know, and then we started trying to force it all, you know, individually, one-on-one, and I think we had you know, a bunch of turnovers in that next phase of the first quarter. And, you know, that obviously got the crowd into it, that them going. And then just, you know, we just struggled to find a rhythm. Everyone was kind of trying to do it all by themselves. We lost our connectivity. But all credit to the Thunder. They certainly deserved this. They played outstanding. You know, we came up short in a lot of ways.
We talked small markets earlier. One thing that being in a small market will do is the people that show up to the building are going to give you a great atmosphere. And Oklahoma City has that, and Indiana has that. And those are both places where it's really hard to have the wheels fall off right away because the crowd is on top of you, and they are engaged, and they can sense that they can help their team potentially win a game in the first quarter. And so once that happened in this quarter, once it got away from them, it was going to be too hard to recover. 9 points in the first quarter, even the 23 points they had in the second, well, the Thunder had 39. I mean, you couldn't catch up to them. And as Naz Reid talked about after the game, you could not recover from that start.
They applied pressure first. They hit first. That's where it started. I mean, they hit first. They were aggressive. They were the aggressor. Kudos to them. But yeah, man, that team's been good all year.
All right, so how do we react? How do we react? I mentioned some names could be there, some names maybe on expiring deals, some names are cornerstones of the franchise. Julius Randle shares his emotions after the loss.
Super disappointed, but just the series in general, I'm disappointed. I feel like we know we're a better team than what we showed, so... motivation going into the summer for sure.
Yeah, they are a better team than what they showed. I don't think they're a better team than the Thunder. I think if you play this series out, you know, 10 or 15 times, it's hard for Minnesota to maybe get a series victory. The Thunder just had answers for them and we're going to find a way to win this series each and every time. But they were better than what we saw. And that was the same thing with the series last year against Dallas. They were better than what we saw. So what is the deal is the question that the Timberwolves and their fans are going to be asking themselves here in the next couple of months. More reactions to the loss. This is veteran guard Mike Conley.
It hurts. You know, it hurts more than, I don't think anybody can really feel what I feel. I can't ask them to feel that because they haven't been around as long and seen how you know, few opportunities you get at this, you know, this chance. So for me, it's gonna take a while just to kind of dissect what, you know, what we just did and, you know, weren't able to accomplish. But, you know, at the same time, proud of my team, proud of these guys, man. They really fought, not just for me, but, you know, just for the whole team. They did a great job of bonding together in the right time just to give ourselves this chance. So I appreciate them more than anything. And, you know, we're going to try this thing again next year.
Mike Conley, I don't think you know off the top of your head. He has been in the league for 18 years. Mike Conley's been in the league for a long time, has not won a title. He's got some individual honors. He was a All-Star in 2021. I mean, he was with the Memphis Grizzlies for a long time and a good player on that team. There's still some guys floating around, though. The guys that got drafted ahead of him, Al Horford, Kevin Durant, Mike Conley's that old that the Seattle Supersonics selected second in that draft. Mike Conley's that old that the guy that went number one that year was his college teammate, Greg Oden. How about that? So Mike Conley doesn't have a lot of these left. Anthony Edwards probably does. Edwards trying to, I guess, take it in stride.
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good.
And that's just crazy. That's like the 14-year gap between those guys. As Conley doesn't know how many of these he has left. Yeah, he's under contract next year, but $10 million, 38-year-old guard, that's an expiring deal. Minnesota may look to look elsewhere. Anthony Edwards is going to be in the league unless something crazy happens for 10 to 15 years here. He's got a lot of these cracks, but Mike Conley once thought he had a lot of these cracks, and now Mike Conley is wondering if he's going to get another one this far ever again, and the answer's probably no for him. So it's totally different frames of mind for sure. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Caleb Williams should have a lot of cracks, although it's an organization that has let quarterbacks slip through them. His reaction finally to the Seth Wickersham book that came out a couple of months ago that essentially revealed the process that Caleb wasn't so sure he wanted to play there. 888-710-4ISN. We'll hear from Caleb Williams when we come back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What were we, 100 days away from the NFL? We're 99 days away. Thursday's going to make it 98 days away. It matters, man. It matters. And we're starting to hear from people and see from people as most of them are showing up at practice. Some are showing up on boats with a mysterious substance. Like to get down to the details of that. Also, you know, it's not company time. You do what you want, I guess.
Who?
Stephon Diggs. Caleb Williams. Chicago Bears had a practice Wednesday. It was an OTA practice. It was open to the media. And Caleb Williams had a nearly 4-minute opening statement that addressed his feelings about the Bears related to the pre-draft process. Now, Seth Wickersham has a book coming up, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And he didn't just, it's not just a Caleb Williams book. There's other quarterbacks currently playing that have played, just talking about, I mean, it's a biography of the quarterback. And one of the guys he talked with was one of the newer guys into the league. That's Caleb Williams. And his father, Carl Williams. So everything that has been revealed has been things that both of them have voluntarily put forward. We didn't uncover a text message We didn't uncover an email or an exchange that was never meant to be seen for public consumption. This was an interview given to an author. Now, he says the book excerpts, close enough, have been a distraction the last couple of weeks, but I'm surprised almost that we're hearing from him. He didn't seem like he wanted to get out in front of it. He thought he could wait, so it's kind of like a distraction, like I'm waiting to, you know, get into this and tell it. But probably the longer he waited, like, does this feel like it's as big of a deal as it was 2 weeks ago? Did it even really feel like a big deal back then? It was kind of juicy. And like, oh, Bears, you almost screwed up. You almost did it, man. But, you know, calmer heads prevailed and they didn't do it. Now, I think it could be a lesson for the future. Like, we're the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears should be a place that people that love football want to play. It should be a place that people that respect the history of the game should want to play. But now to know about the history of the Chicago Bears, you got to look into the history of the Chicago Bears. Because even the Super Bowl shuffle isn't like, I mean, that was 41 years ago. But that's not, what do people even think about when they think about the Bears? I'm not talking Bears fans. I'm not talking lifelong fans. I'm not talking, you know, 50, 60-year-old. I'm talking about, you know, 25 years old. You love the NFL. You're into it. What do you think about when you think of the Chicago Bears? You probably think about Justin Fields didn't work out and Mitch Trubisky didn't work out. And they could have had Patrick Mahomes. That's what you think about. Maybe you remember them in a Super Bowl when you were younger. Devin Hester in the rain. Maybe. So if I was a Bears fan, I'd be like, this McCaskey thing, what are we doing here? How do we get out of this? But you don't. We went through their front office list a while back. They got a McCaskey working in every department in that building. They're all over the place. This is a team under family control. So if you think that this is their problem, it's not getting solved anytime soon. But Caleb Williams is their guy. Ben Johnson, now their coach. Offensive line, secured. Weapons, still got them. Defense, feeling decent. Quarterback, if he wants to be here. So Caleb Williams, talking today at OTAs, did admit, yeah, at first I wasn't sure I wanted to do this here.
The past years, as everybody knows, it's a fact that quarterback play, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer. There's, you know, these all these different things that come up. And so, you know, being able to have those thoughts is, I think, fair to be able to have, you know, good and bad thoughts.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, let's say you get hired to a place and they're like, oh, yeah, you can operate our forklift. Well, that's three of them broke their arms and neck. But you'll be different this time around. Well, what point is it? Are you getting bad forklift operators, or is it something wrong with the machine? And so, you know, that's a question with the Bears. Are they getting bad quarterbacks? If Patrick Mahomes was with the Bears, is he Patrick Mahomes today? I don't think he's garbage. But, I mean, can you imagine, is Patrick Mahomes on a one-year deal somewhere like Justin Fields? Is Patrick Mahomes a career backup now like Mitch Trubisky? But it's not just guys they've drafted. They drafted. They tried to trade for quarterbacks. You know, they tried to invest in Rick Meyer a long time ago. Nothing seems to work out. But he put eyes on the building. He met the coaches that are now no longer there. After the first meeting, though, he felt a little better.
not wanting to come here and, you know, be the guy and be a part and be a reason on why, you know, Chicago Bears turned this thing around. So that last thing that was said and all of that, I think was the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here, that I love being here, I love my teammates.
Not a terrible gamble, I don't think, from him, because either it doesn't work out for you, and we don't know when these guys get drafted, we don't know if it's going to work out for them. But if it doesn't, he'll have the backdrop of, well, he was with the Chicago Bears. They can't get anybody to do anything right. But what if he's good? Then you didn't just single-handedly save a franchise from a few down years. You were the first Bears quarterback in 100-plus years that went over the 4,000-yard mark. That might be what young people know when they think about the Chicago Bears. One of the things that I don't think Bears fans were enamored with was that he was somewhat enamored with the Minnesota Vikings. He did admit, yeah, he had a good conversation with them too.
All that went down, all that was said, yeah, I had a good visit at the other place, Minnesota, with Kevin O'Connell, good staff and all of that, obviously. He just won Coach of the Year award and things like that. So obviously good staff and things like that.
Some stuff that Caleb had to say about his dad. I remember his dad said Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die. Caleb says he appreciates the support and guidance from Pops, but that Carl Williams does not speak for him. Caleb saying, I shut my dad down quite a bit. He has ideas. He's a smart man. I listen. I always listen. I'm fortunate to be in this position in the sense of playing quarterback, but also to have a very strong-minded father. We talk often. My mom and dad are best friends, so being able to have conversations with them to understand that everything they say is also portrayed on me. He cares so much about me and my future, and we've been along this journey so long together. He just wants the best for me. I'm sure him saying his mom and dad are his best friends will be treated fairly by media members. My God, if my 25-year-old kid said that his parents were his best friends, that's all I'm angling for. You're not their friend, they're your parent. Sadly, he might be my best friend. I think I spend the most time with him. Caleb, what a great son. What a great quarterback. I'd love him on my team if I didn't have future Hall of Famer Jordan Love. Future Hall of Famer Jordan Love. Brandon's in Chicago. What's up, Brandon?
Hi, I'm sure you've seen the league trading places. It would have been really interesting to see Mahomes and Trubisky at different beginnings. It's impossible to actually know for sure, but I like that point you made. I want to talk about, as far as Caleb Williams watching film by himself, I don't know what good does that do. I mean, we all know that the OC was there as a hire of convenience, but at least have your center in there. When you're drafted as the quarterback, you're the leader of that offense. It's your responsibility to at least have your center and your lineman there. The success of an offense is based on the synchronicity of its moving parts. I learned that word from a police officer. I hope it's correct. But thank you very much. I have a terrific evening.
All right, Brandon. I didn't catch the end there, but I'm sure it was good. Appreciate the call. Caleb talked about that because there was part of the book where Williams said he would watch film by himself with no instruction or guidance. In the book, he says, no one tells me what to watch. I just turn it on. The quarterback, when he was talking today, referred to that as funny and laughed. It wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film, Williams said. It was more or less the sense of learning ways to watch film and be more efficient, learning ways to pick up things better. That was funny that it came out in that context and how that was trying to be portrayed, but it didn't get portrayed that way. No, I think you're misunderstanding. I don't think, with maybe the exception of Brandon, thought he should pull a center in there. I don't think people heard you say you're watching film by yourself and no one's telling you what to watch. I don't think we're thinking you're dummy, don't know how to watch tape. We're thinking, like, where are your coaches? Where are the Bears coaches in this? And I know Shane Waldron got fired, and then Matt Eberflus eventually got fired, firing a coach during the season, first time ever. But no, I think you're good on that one, bud. I don't think anybody was pointing that at you. That was more towards the team. Get to an update in a second. Ryan in Ontario. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good evening, Bart. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much, buddy. Not much. Hey, listen, I just started listening to you guys about a month ago. I really enjoy the content, and I don't know, I just really enjoy the things that you got to say. Anyway, the reason for my call is I'd like to get to know maybe a couple of small things about you. I won't take long. I know you're a Green Bay Packers fan. I just want to know, Bart, who is your favorite Green Bay Packer player of all time and why?
Well, I'm going to go with the easy answer and go for the guy who I convinced my parents I was named after, and that would be Bart Starr.
Okay, yeah, okay, okay. You see, Bart goes before my time. My time is kind of more like Brett Favre.
I don't know if you can say that. Can we? Yeah. All right, thanks for the call. Well, this is a good time to...
Ten seconds of audio that no longer exists.
You just call him a D. I don't know. I don't think we can. I don't want to.
Better safe than sorry. I haven't got an FCC fine yet, and I can't afford one, so we're going to keep that streak alive.
He wants it. So is that just a setup to ask about Favre? If you want to know about Favre, watch Untold, The Fall of Favre, now streaming on Netflix.
What a pro.
And if you want to know more about the documentary, check out my interview with executive producer AJ Perez, which is available on the Odyssey platform as a podcast, as we had him on last week. Bart Starr, one of the things I like about Bart Starr is when he was done being the Packers quarterback, he just was like a great human and looked out for others and didn't go off the deep end.
I like him.
That seems like it. That's like it's rare. Okay, 888-710-44.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
7-6, let's get an update with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, alongside... We have two teams punching their ticket into the championship round. The Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA. The Florida Panthers in the NHL. Do we think that tomorrow we'll get teams to join them? Edmonton and Dallas. Edmonton up 3-1. Tomorrow being Thursday. Edmonton up 3-1. 8 p.m. Eastern. Puck drop, and then in the NBA, we have got the Pacers and the Knicks. And I think in that series, I can still see the Knicks winning. This game's at 8 o'clock as well, Eastern time, that is. But, man, I think they have a better effort than the Timberwolves tonight. But if they're not up, like, early, maybe they do get in their own head and Pacers are going to strike. When you're up 3-1 and you see that moment to take a kill, if you take that kill shot, it's hard to come back from that, because then the other team is trying to come back knowing that they've failed at trying to come back many, many times, and they might just feel like it's more of the same. One thing we got to do, a programming decision here. Because if the game's going to wrap up, the game's going to wrap up right around the time that we have the Bartometer. And I don't want there to be some crazy excitement and all of a sudden I'm talking about NFL quarterbacks. Do we just play that one by ear, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I asked the question and you gave me an answer.
I mean, what did you want? You wanted me to soliloquy about why we should do it? I mean, I would say maybe tentatively, if you are someone who likes the Bartometer at its normal time slot, maybe set yourself up for disappointment because we could push it an hour later.
There was a moment reminds me of the other night. I think it was Lisa Salters was interviewing Jalen Williams after the game. This was after game 4. And she asked him a question about how they did it. And he's like, hey, I don't know. We worked really hard. She goes, is that all you got? And he goes, I'm going to say the same thing that I always say. and then Shay's like, you know, I got you. And then he like gave a 30-second answer. So you Jalen Williams'd me. But then again, it was a bad question. And I put you on the spot.
Yeah, now be SGA and fix it.
I have a question for you because I have a, not to sound like, I hated even bringing this up because I told you I got a mattress this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also got a microwave. So I bought two big purchases.
You consider a microwave a big purchase?
I don't know. I feel like I'm paying more to get it installed than I am.
What is there to install? You put the plug into the outlet and that's it.
Nope. Ours is above the stove. It's like locked in there. It's tough to get in and out.
Oh, is it like a microwave range? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. All right. Well, then, you know, I retract my previous criticism of you.
No, I'm paying a guy $100 to come and plug my microwave in on the counter.
Yeah, for $100. I mean, you can give me the ticket, I'll go do it.
So they gave the mattress gave me a 2-hour window. And they came right in the middle of that window. And you know, I think it was like an 11-to-1 window. And around noon I'm thinking, oh boy. But then they're like, hey, we're right on the way. And I'm like, sweet. The microwave window is a 4-hour window.
What?
Between 7:30 and 11:30.
Oh, if you come at 7:30 when I'm still like mid, you know, REM sleep, I am punching you in the throat.
So either, and my wife will be gone at work. So either, I got to get up either way. Unless I just risk it and say, I'm getting up at 10:30. And if I catch the last hour, because when do we think they're coming? I mean, they're going to come at 10:30. Unless I'm the first job. So this is what's tricky. They gave me a 4-hour window. I'm either the first job or I'm the last job probably. So I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I'm going to have to get up.
Dude, you don't have to set an alarm. They'll get there when they get there, and they'll just ring the bell, buzz the phone, whatever they're going to do. Let them wake you up.
Well, I need a good night's sleep. I did not get a good night's sleep last night because first night new mattress, and it is infinitely more comfortable than the old one. But, you know, I was just waking up every 20 minutes, and like I said earlier, I was dreaming about AI, and I got into seeing. You know,
your dreams suck. That's not what I'm dreaming of.
I haven't had one of those dreams in a while. And I'm gonna just.
That's why you gotta watch hockey postgame with Emily Kaplan.
I'm gonna just look at something tube and then for 20 minutes and go to bed. But not like actually watch, just like look at the faces. My God, Barry's in Boston. I only go to you when you can't make things worse.
Oh God. So do you want to talk about the Super Bowl shuffle?
I don't ever want to answer that question again.
Seventh grade Super Bowl.
I'm not a choose your own adventure guy.
Okay. So do you want to talk about NBA or NHL? I want to talk about NHL.
Talk about NHL.
NHL, Brad Marchand is the Bruins captain, and he got shifted off to Miami, or just the Florida Panthers, and they go into the Stanley Cup.
Barry, I'm having a hard time understanding when one word ends and when the next one begins.
Okay, so I watched both games tonight, the hockey game and the basketball game. The basketball game was a joke. It was a joke. I mean, Minnesota was down by 35 points the whole game. 30 points, 35, 28 points. It was a joke. The hockey game was a lot closer. Hockey is so much better. How do you feel about that, buddy?
Here's how I feel about that. Barry, thanks for the call, I guess. The hockey game was closer. Yeah, you know how many points were scored in the hockey game? 8. Of course it was closer. The basketball game was a... What did you want this basketball game to be? It was the best team in the league coming out, firing on all cylinders, shutting the Timberwolves down. They couldn't do anything in a closeout game, and they won. It's game 5 of a 3-1 series. You're not getting, you know, 2016 NBA Finals game 7 here. Yeah, NHL, okay, we had a tie game, and then Florida scored a couple at the end. Yeah, it's inherently a closer game because they don't score as much. This is one thing I'm trying to steer the show away from. We're not comparing NBA to NHL. We can compare NHL to NHL to NHL, NBA to NBA to NBA. We're not comparing either sport. We are liking both sports. No comparing. Liking both. That's what we're doing. Okay. 7:30 tomorrow morning. Get a good night's sleep after that call. Shouldn't be a problem. I want to thank Marco Belletti, Carlos Ortiz, Pat Boyle coming up next. This has been... Well, I hit the post early here. This has been the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.